If you have your Bibles with you, I'll read a section out of the Bible, and it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we see here how the lengths that Paul the Apostle goes to in order to reach those that the Lord commissioned him to go to reach them with the gospel. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll start from verse 19. And we see Paul here saying, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those who have no law I become like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. And I want to win those not having the law. To the weak I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run as one like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight as a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Now, as I said, every time I see Ninja Warriors, I want to have a go at it. I think it runs deep in my veins to be a Ninja Warrior. And what is it for you? You've already discussed that. It may be that you're into MasterChef and cooking experts. Cooking up a storm is what you would love to be able to do. Or some musician, some singer that you really are captivated by, their voice or instrument. Who do you look up to? Who is your hero? Who is the one that you would love to follow? Who's the one you'd love to model your behaviour on? And tonight, we are looking at how we are to behave and model our lives on the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. We are actually finishing our series tonight in the Gospel Sharing series that we've been working through. And I want us to see the thrill and the joy that is there for us as believers, as Christians, to be imitating the King of Kings. And it's the joy and thrill of actually saving lives. In 1 Corinthians there, chapter 11, just a little bit further along from what we just read, there's this really engaging sentence which says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Or if you want to put it a different way, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Or, "Take me as your pattern as I take my pattern from Christ." We imitate Christ, we follow Christ. That's Paul's advice to mums and dads. It's his advice to grandchildren and grandparents. It's his advice to ordinary believers. He's just writing to a church of Corinth, and he says, "You guys, follow me, join with me in following my example as I follow Christ." If you're going to copy someone, you really got to have a good reason to do so, don't you? They've got to be someone that really does captivate you. There's got to be a good reason. Children copy their parents. It's a problem, isn't it, if you're a parent? Sometimes it's a real problem. I'm teaching Dave to drive at the moment, and I find myself saying, "Do what I say, not what I do." Because my driving is not up to speed. It's not what I'd like him to be able to do. I want him to know how to drive the way I say to drive, not the way I naturally do drive. Imitate others. We imitate others all the time. Our daughter, Laura, about a year ago now, I guess, she learned how to do that amazing trick that girls do with towels, and they wrap it around their head after they've had a shower and tuck it in, and it looks really weird. But Laura learned to do it, and she was really, really proud of herself. She wore the towel wrapped around her wet hair with pride. She modelled it in front of the mirror. We thought she was kind of strange, and her brothers picked on her, but she was proud as punch because she was modelling her life on her mum. And she loves her mum, and she wanted to imitate her mum. Couldn't think of anything better. Unfortunately, she didn't let me keep any photos, so I don't have any to show you of that. But That's the way it is. I watch Ninja Warriors. I want to have a go. And Paul says, join with me in keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus and follow him. Do what he's doing. He's saving the world. You can't top that, can you, for a cause worth putting your shoulder to the wheel over. Join with me in seeking the salvation of this world. What a way to make your life count, imitating the Saviour. That's a life worth living, isn't it? You're going to regret a lot of things in life. You're going to regret doing a lot of things. I'll tell you now, you will. You will never regret doing the right thing. You will never regret following Jesus. Jesus always did what was right. He always sought the good of others. You will never regret doing that. Following him will actually keep you on track in life. It'll give you the means to live a worthwhile life. Now, there's a lot of things that Jesus did. So the question is, how do we imitate him? How do we follow him? Tonight, I just want to work at three areas where we are to imitate the Lord Jesus. There are three areas that are in relation to sharing our faith, because we're doing this series on gospel sharing. So I just want to pick three areas where I want to highlight how we can imitate Jesus and follow him. And those three areas are in his mission, in his motivation, and in his method. They're the three things, the three M's, if you like: mission, motivation, and method. Because Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Because Paul says that, that's the order I'll tackle it as well. We'll have a look at Christ, his mission, motivation, and method. Then we'll have a look at Paul, and then we'll make some conclusions about how we can do this as well. So firstly, let's consider Jesus. Consider his mission. It's a big mission. He came to seek and save the world. His goal was to save us. He tells us in Luke 19, doesn't he? Luke 19, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Comes after he has just saved Zacchaeus, and the family salvation has come to this man. And then we get this sentence, don't we? The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Came to find lost people who have lost their way. To do this, Jesus, of course, had to do a lot of other things. He had to destroy the work of the devil. He had to deal with our sin. He knew he had to achieve his mission, and it would cost him his life. So that was his mission. He would become the hated enemy. He would become the rejected one. Jesus would endure the punishment of the guilty criminal. Jesus would pay the debt that we have outstanding. And Jesus did that at the cross. Built into his mission, though, wasn't just simply that he would do this saving work, but he'd also share this message with a lost world. So built into his mission was also a mechanism for making this message known. And Jesus' strategy to spread this saving message to the world, he preached freedom and repentance and through faith in him, and he sent out others to do exactly that. So part of his mission was a mission to get this saving message of himself out to lost people. So he sent out others to do that work. So we're to follow Jesus in relation to his mission. We are to be people who are concerned for the salvation of others. We are to be people who are worried about those who have lost their way. But secondly, we are to follow Jesus when it comes to his motivation too. Because not only was Jesus on this mission to save people, he also was motivated by love. And he was motivated as a volunteer. Jesus wasn't forced to do what he did. He did it off his own bat. In John 10, 17 and 18, Jesus says very clearly there, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord." He's a volunteer. He has no ulterior motive in saving you and me. He wasn't thinking, what's in it for me? He wasn't thinking that the sacrifice and the suffering would bring him anything. He was free to do as he pleased, and he freely chose to give his life as a ransom for many. He freely chose to be born in obscurity, to live in humility, and to die in shame. He wasn't paid, he wasn't forced. He left the glory of heaven to be a servant of all. That was his motivation. It was pure love for his Father and pure love for us. He gave no thought to personal gain because he has it all already. He's God Almighty. It's a selfless motivation, isn't it? Follow me as I follow Christ. As I love you, love one another, says Jesus. And thirdly, we are to follow Jesus when it comes to his method. The method that Jesus used to save the lost and to share this message was not a megaphone set up on Mars, was it? Jesus could have done that. He could have set up a big megaphone on Mars and he could have employed the spectacular to let the world know that he had come in peace and whatever, like that kid's movie. Hail, Earthlings. He could have used that spectacular way of telling the globe in one hit. But that was not his method, was it? He didn't set up a world government. He didn't set up global communications. He could have. He didn't. His method was to identify with ordinary people like you and me. Hebrews 2:14 to 18 shows us the method of Jesus. It's a really significant passage. We're told here of the method of Jesus. We read, since the children of flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that he, by his death, he might destroy death, him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That's his method. He stepped into our shoes. He came into our world. God became one of us. That's the method that Jesus used. He became a poor and an ordinary bloke. He lived with poor and ordinary sinners and prostitutes and undesirables. He identifies with us. He helps the blind and lame. He heals them. He feeds the hungry. He cures the sick. He comforts the grieving. He eats and drinks with sinners and oddballs. He lifts us up. How? By totally lowering himself. That's what Jesus does. He lifts us up by lowering himself. He restores the lepers to community and he ends up an outcast. They get in, he gets kicked out. He swaps places with us. Extraordinary method, isn't it? But that's his method. His mission to save, his motivation, pure love, his method, personally identifying with the lost. Amazing man. We can't go past Jesus, can we? What an amazing man that he would take on such a mission, that he would care so much for you and I that he would do that. He lifts us up by lowering himself. That is just amazing grace. Well, let's move on now and see the same things in Paul. He's imitating the Lord Jesus. He says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Paul's not wanting here, we need to be careful, Paul's not wanting here to be a buffer between Christ and us. He's not saying in this sentence, you follow me, you plebs, you follow me and I'll do the hard work of following Christ. Rather, he's saying, all of us, join with me in keeping your focus on Jesus. So as we aim to share the good news with others, we're imitating Jesus. We're taking on his mission, his motivation and his method. And as we do this, keeping our eyes on Jesus, we're also keeping in step with the great Apostle Paul, because he did the same thing. He's saying, join with me in doing this. Follow me as I follow Christ. And if we study the life of Paul, that's what we see. He does what the Lord Jesus does. His mission, his motivation, and his method is that of his Saviour. So with regard to his mission, we see Paul, he knows the Great Commission. He knows that we are to go and make disciples. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 how his mission is to be an ambassador of Christ, entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. So he's got it. He's got it down pat. Our mission is to be connecting people with the Lord Jesus. Then through that, bring them to salvation. The ministry of bringing lost people back into a relationship with their loving God. That's what Paul was on about. His mission is in tune with the mission of Jesus. So he's definitely an example worth following. Regarding his motivation, Paul's a volunteer. Just like the Lord Jesus, he freely gives what he has freely received. We see it there, don't we, in 1 Corinthians 19. Paul already has it all, and so do you if you're trusting Jesus. You already have it all in him. Out of pure love for his Father, Paul is willing to give his all. See there, verse 19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to all to win as many as possible. He's free, like Jesus. He's freely giving up his comfort and his couch and his country to share the saving message of the cross with others. He does it freely. He doesn't have to, he wants to. He freely serves to see others saved. So Paul's motivation, like the Lord Jesus' motivation, is pure love for his Father and love for the lost. And so finally we see his method is patterned on Jesus as well. Jesus identified with those he came to save by hanging out with the man on the street. Jesus lived with those he wanted to save. He became one of us. And Paul follows suit. Look how serious Paul is. In this section is probably the clearest section in the New Testament of how we go about doing sharing the gospel. He says, to the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. I'm not under the law. To win those under the law. To those not having law, become one not having the law. To win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. I've become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Great passage on how to do gospel sharing with your friends. You see his method, identify those you want to save, identify with them. In total freedom, Paul is able to do that. He's able to be all things to all men by all possible means to save them because he has been freed to do that by the Lord Jesus. The restrictions that were there in his old Jewish days are all been gone. They've all been moved aside. His method is modelled off the Lord Jesus. So to the God types, Paul becomes a God type, doesn't he? To the God types, to the Jews, Paul says he becomes a Jew. It's a funny thing to say, isn't it? Because he was a Jew. But he wasn't a Jew because he was a Christian. His new identity is the Lord Jesus. But because he's a Christian, because he's free, he's now able to become a Jew. Go back to what he was, in other words. Shaves his head, does the purification thing, keeps people happy. He puts up with their religious restrictions to free them from their religious restrictions. He wants to save them by getting them to the Lord Jesus. And then you see him doing the opposite with the Greeks. These are the proud descendants of the philosophical giants that you hear about, the philosophers, Socrates, Pythagoras, Plato, Aristotle. These are the giants that we still look up to. These are the men that were the descendants of these men, and Paul is matching them intellectually. He goes to Athens, the centre of intellectual thought, if you like. He's engaging with their customs, engaging with their intellect, engaging with their language. He knows they love wisdom. He knows they love rhetoric. He's using that and packaging the gospel in a way that connects with them. They pride themselves in education. It's as useless as the Jews' religious practices, but they pride themselves in it, and Paul's willing to accommodate both. He'll be religious with the religious, and he'll be academic with the academics. He'll identify with both because as far as is possible, he wants both to be one for the Lord Jesus. That's his method. He will be all things to all men so that by all possible means he may save some. Paul's mission to save, Paul's motivation, pure love for his Father, and Paul's method to personally identify with those he wants to see saved. He's patterning his life on the Lord Jesus, and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. So what's your mission? What's your mission in life? What are you shooting for as you live the life that the Lord has given you? Don't answer that. You might incriminate yourself. But if you're a Christian, your mission is set by the Master, isn't it? Your mission is set by Jesus. Our life is not our own, and it never was. The sooner that penny drops, the better. Our life is not our own, and it never was. Our life belongs to the one who gave us life, and that is the Lord Jesus. Our mission is to save, using the message of Jesus in a messed up world. That's your mission. This world is the Titanic with a massive hole ripped in its side. Our mission is to take the message of Jesus, the lifeboat, to those who are on that Titanic, blissfully unaware of the danger they are in. Our mission is to get into their cabins and their lounge rooms and their gaming rooms. Our mission is to go to them, to wake them up. If they're sleeping in their cabins, they need to be woken up. They need to leave their comfortable lounges and their gaming rooms. They need to know the danger that is about to suck them under. They need to leave all, and they need to run to the Saviour who can give them all. That's our mission. Secondly, what's your motivation? It's pure love for the Father. There is no guilt applied to this talk. There is no sense that you must do something in order to gain something. Our motivation is pure love for our Father who's done it all for us. Pure love for God and for the lost. We're not serving to meet some standard, friends. We don't have to. We are free, like Paul. I am free and I belong to no man. We are not cult members. Christians are not doing the cultic thing of trudging the streets and door-knocking out of duty in order to somehow notch up some brownie points with God. We are free. We are totally saved and unconditionally loved by the Lord for all eternity because of what Jesus has done, not what we do. Our motivation is not to gain something. We already have it all by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Remember that. You have it all in Christ. Our motivation is to experience the actual. That's our motivation, to experience the actual. We are unconditionally loved. We can experience that in actual love by freely and voluntarily obeying the Father that we have in heaven. Our motivation is pure love. There is no ulterior motive. There is nothing in this for us. We get no extra bonus points. We get no golden handshake. Because we have been freely given everything by grace, we can give. Freely you have received, freely give. Our motivation is freely given by grace. And finally, what is our method? Well, our method is the method of the Lord Jesus and Paul, isn't it? Christ Jesus, what did he do? He crossed the cosmos to come and seek and save us, to become one like us. What did Paul do? He crossed the cultural barriers of his time. He did the unthinkable. He hung out with Gentiles. He became an Athenian and he gave the saving message of Jesus to Athenians. How can we think and act and speak and follow his example as he followed Jesus? That's to engage our thinking. That's to keep us going as we think through what the Lord would have us do with the opportunities that we have right in front of us. Here's some ideas. People, they come in all shapes and sizes. There's groups, there's subgroups, there's clans, there's tribes, there's networks, there's interest groups, there's connections which hold people together. Our method is to use the freedom that we have to live in their space as best we're able, to love them deliberately by sharing the gospel message in a format that will work. I saw a car sticker on a car recently, or a few months back now, and it really annoyed me. It was I was driving behind it, and it was on the back windscreen, and there was a nice question on it. It said, "Are you saved?" I thought, that's a good question, and then I drove a bit closer to see what was else under it, and under it was this quote from the old King James Version, a version that is archaic in its language and incomprehensible in its wording, Shakespearean translation of the Bible, something along the lines, "Thou shalt believeth," and things like that. And I just thought, that is so incomprehensible. Where in today's world do we hear Shakespearean jargon? No one speaks like that. What the sticker said to me was that the driver actually couldn't care less about the lost, couldn't care less about the salvation of his friends, for his translation was an intelligible and foreign language to the vast majority of Aussies that we are hanging out with. We do not put up barriers to stop people from hearing the gospel by our weird behaviour or words. We are not to be rigid where we are to be flexible. How offensive to Christ and his cause when we do this, when we nail down dress code or music or song selection or special buildings and so on, as if the only authorised way of honouring God is a way that we particularly like. That's the problem. Our God is bigger than our cultural preferences. We are to imitate Christ. We are to imitate Paul. We are to really love people by aiming to get into their headspace, aiming to see where they are at, aiming to understand how they think and act. In doing this, it enables us to bring the Saviour into their space. It allows them to see the Lord Jesus in a way that they will understand. That's our method. So our mission is to save people with the good news about Jesus. Our motivation is pure love for God, who has given us everything in the Lord Jesus. And our method is total freedom and flexibility that we see modelled both by Jesus and by other Christians. It's the unchanging message in ever-changing packaging. The unchanging message of the gospel in ever-changing packaging, depending on who we're trying to reach. So we are to commit our life to the mission of saving others. We are to be motivated by pure love, to freely lay down our life, and we are to apply the method of crossing the great divide between our lives and our comfort zone as we present Jesus in understandable ways to those who are different from us. We become imitators of the one we claim to love when we do this. We grow to look more and more like Jesus when we do this. And in the light of eternity, and for the sake of winning more to salvation, what better pattern than Paul, the pattern of Christ? What better pattern that do we have to model our life on? May we aim to be all things to all men, so that by all possible means we may save some. Let me pray, and then we'll field some questions. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great lengths that you went to in saving us. Thank you for sending your Son to come and seek and save that which was lost. And that definitely includes us. Thank you that you did that. You planned our salvation and you brought it about. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for so freely and voluntarily laying down your life for our salvation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to rescue us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will model our lives on him and continue to be people who are willing to use the time and energy and life and circumstances that you have put us in for your glory. We pray that we will think about those that we know who don't know you, and help us to love them enough to share the Lord Jesus with them, to love them enough to work out how they think and how they would be able to best comprehend and understand the saving message of Jesus. And we pray that you'll give us wisdom and courage to do this, remembering that we have already been fully saved through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.